So this is Sue DeMay. She's a senior researcher in Eric's team. We're working on information retrieval technology. And she actually works on information retrieval technology with a strong focus on the user interface side of it. So we're going to... Eric, where are we going here?
We're going to see Raman Saran, who's been the center of the vortex on dev for search around here.
Wow.
Raman is a prolific developer here with quite a personality.
I think you can turn on lights. That'd be great. Let me get over here.
What was that?
There you go.
Cool. Come on in.
Hey, by the way, Robert.
So I'm hanging out with Raman.
Raman also did SmartFlow.
Oh, I love that app. Can you demo it? Can you demo it for us?
Yeah, we've got it right here.
Excellent. So, this is a cool app. Now, this is not available to the public, right? This is
not yet.
Not yet.
We have several thousand internal users, though.
Yeah. They're spreading.
This is from 2 days ago. So we're gonna go and get today's traffic information.
Oh, this is a different version than I have. Interesting.
Oh, you might not be up to, you don't have the little clocks that tell you how long.
I have some of the clocks.
Yeah. Of course, it'll probably just decide not to work right now.
I'll get away from it.
So those clocks are actually Bayesian machine learned predictions about when bottlenecks will melt and when currently opened arteries will clog. Mm. How much time you have to get through them before they clog with a high probability.
Wow.
We're actually machine learning off data that includes like sonic start and stop times and weather reports and incident reports off the Washington DOT site.
So this is showing.
So what this is actually showing is that this clog here at the end of the street is expected to last over an hour.
Okay.
And if I move across.
This is showing Seattle's traffic, right?
Yeah. So this is the 520 bridge, and this one is showing that. Although it's open at the moment, we only expect it to stay open for another 15 minutes, which can be, get going now. And then here's one where we expect it to clear up in 15 minutes because you can see it's a red clock.
Got it.
This is three-day-old data. Actually, my specific phone only is having an issue connecting, and I'm working with the mobile device guys right now to try and figure out why that is and see why if we can solve it before the lights
out. Even developers need dev support right here sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah. Wow, that's an awesome app. It saves me hours going to the airport. It's like, oh, there's an accident on this road. I'll take another one.
So Susan led the team that put together stuff I've seen, which evolved into the desktop search tool, which we shipped a little while ago through MSN's toolbar.
Yep.
And Raman was a key dev. And one thing that's very interesting was, and it happened once in a while, we went to productize, and Raman left our team to join their team as a kind of shared pinch hitter, or what do you call it, a superstar, all-star, to share across the product, the expertise here on indexing and search with the product team and help get that thing out the door.
Now, I interviewed that team twice, actually, and that team didn't exist in April of last year and shipped the product in December, they were using technology that you guys have been working on for how long?
It's an interesting story because it's gone back and forth. So we took technology that ships with MS Search, so the SharePoint portal server code, and modified it to do desktop search.
Wow.
And then the MSN toolbar desktop search people took our code and modified it and sort of made it much more hardy for general release. And now we've bought that back and are going to continue developing on top of that. So this is code that's gone actually back and forth between product and research and back to product.
Actually, what they did is they sort of took our code base and our wish list, most importantly, because I'm one developer and worked on that, and we sort of brain dumped on them, okay, if we had the team of developers you guys have, here's the things we would fix and the order in which we would fix them. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what they ended up doing to ship the product.
Awesome.
So, and then we've now bought it back, and it's great. I mean, having that team do the work on it has been fabulous.
And they're still working on it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're still finding things that they need to work on.
Yeah. Me too.
but it's been really great to see it finally productized after.
What's it like to watch the community? Because the bloggers took that and wrote about it and wrote reviews. What's it like to watch your code being deployed across the world?
It's both cool and somewhat frustrating because we sit there and see it compared with the other products that were out there, and yet we know we were first. I mean, Susan has tracked when some of those other versions started. They were after we started. And we've been wanting this to happen for years, and now all of a sudden it's here. And it's great, though. I mean, something I definitely wrote all of my friends about and said, hey, you got to try this out. And a couple of them even wrote back, yeah, isn't this based on that paper that you were written? You were, I was like, how did you find this? Oh, well, we did a search on your name and found all this stuff. Yeah. So it was kind of neat.
Like several tools are based on that paper.
Yes, many tools are based on that paper. Wonderful paper on that.
This is actually a really interesting case because I think we're all glad that it's out there and that people are using it and we're getting good feedback. But this is an interesting case because it's one where you give a talk on the system and you show demos, and the first question out of the audience was always, when can I get it? Yeah. And now at least we have an answer to that. And I think it's really exciting to see people use it and provide feedback on it.
Right.
Yeah, I remember I was actually asked by Dan Ling, do I have a problem demoing stuff I've seen to somebody? And I said, yes. And Eric was standing next to me and just about had a conniption fit. And Dan said, well, what's the problem? And Eric said, why are you talking to somebody? I said, you got to tell them they can't have it.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, I did the faculty summit, 2 years ago? And everybody, I mean, I had professors dragging guys over. You gotta come look at this. This is so. Can we run this now? No. We'll sign anything you want us to sign. Just let us run it. You know, it might destroy my computer. That's fine. I want to run it. Yeah. It was an amazing product to work with. Actually.
So what are you guys frustrated about that you have hidden in the secret vaults today?
No. We should.
Well, I'll go and we're going to interview some executives, and we can prod them and say, hey, when are you going to ship this or ship that?
We have some demos that would make your audience out there at Webland fall off their chairs right now. We can't show you yet. Seriously, I mean, something exciting.
Can't show you. But, at the same time, one of the things that we think about constantly is, we can, do a demo that works cool on our machine. That doesn't mean it's going to work on 100 million other machines around the world, right?
Yeah.
And that, we get frustrated sometimes because we want it out there, but at the same time, we really actually want people to have a good experience with this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, we sort of counsel ourselves to be patient over here because, our product groups are good about, spending the time and getting it right and testing it thoroughly. And, and to the extent that we can, stay patient and understanding about that, it makes a really great partnership between us and the product groups that in the end does get the stuff in the products.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's being part of Microsoft, we are held to a higher standard than a lot of software companies out there. And it's unfortunate that we can't come up with a way of saying, this is Microsoft, but this is rough Microsoft, raw cut.
Yeah.
And it might crash, and it might do this. And if we could get people to understand that and not go, it's Microsoft, of course it'll crash. Right. I think we might be better off there. But it's been great.
About these far out demos, good news is we published everything we do.
Yeah.
So just wait
on the research site, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we go to conferences, proceedings, and journals.
So there are some nice papers coming out on the thing that I just mentioned.
Yeah. So what conferences are you? What kinds of events do you guys all attend?
SIGIR, CHI, AAAI, HCHI, the AI conferences, the information retrieval conferences, the human computer interaction.
Yeah. So those these folks go to. Microsoft goes to. Mobilecom and SIGGRAPH, of course. We talked to the folks doing the SIGGRAPH papers earlier this afternoon. There are literally dozens and dozens of conferences around the world that we submit papers to.
Right. These are cool screens, by the way.
As I
go around the Microsoft, it's very rare you see really nice, design screens.
These are actually just two standard 21-inch LCDs, and it just so happens that the monitor mount that they're on allows them to be flipped sideways, and I find that since most of what I do is code, and I have for years said, I don't care. You could give me a black and white screen. If I could see more code on it, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
And I work in them in this way. And it's a very interesting thing to me because at home I work with a widescreen, wide aspect ratio 23-inch monitor. And it's because I'm a photographer and most of my work is done on photography images there. But all my work here is done on code, and I like to see code in this format. So I end up working with them in this way.
Wow. Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. And looking forward to seeing more stuff from you guys.
Glad to hear you like
Smart Code.
Cool.
Have you got a moment?
Okay.
Now we're going to head on down the hall and find David Heckerman.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay. What's that?
1, 2, 3. Okay, we're back on air.
Okay, and we're at David Heckerman's office. Hi there. This is Robert Stobel, and Robert's...
Nice to meet you. Camcorder. This is very live.
Okay. Oh, yeah. This is like reality TV. Yeah. Hey, there's a Microsoft employee on The Apprentice this season.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Is that the book smart person or the street smart?
Book smart. Of course. you have a lot of patent keys, too. We were just talking about
it. Yeah, we were just Eric Corbett's and stuff. So, another one of our very prolific patent keys. So, I talked a little bit earlier on the camera about how both you and Eric sort of came to the company together. Both have, a huge depth of expertise in machine learning and sort of breadth of AI kinds of technologies. And that, he's really sort of been focused recently on the user interface side. You've been really focused more sort of on the data mining side, looking at large data sets, and even, sort of gave sort of hints of the stuff you've been doing with HIV vaccine research. So,
is there anything up on that whiteboard that shouldn't be on?
Oh, you're fine.
All right. If anybody can understand it, send you a resume. And
Absolutely. The one thing I did mention is that both you and Eric are MDs.
That's right.
You actually have medical degrees.
That's how we met. We were interviewing various medical schools to decide which medical school we wanted to go to. So we're checking out the departments to see which medical school had the coolest research. And we're sitting there at Stanford in the same place doing the same thing. We started talking, and we had all these shared interests.
How did you get?
It's been 25 years, I guess, of continuing that dialogue since we first met.
How did you get from a medical career to a software career?
Eric and I both knew we weren't going to just do regular medicine. We were going to do some kind of research.
Okay.
And we quickly got into this area of medical diagnosis. Physicians are overworked and overstressed, and they make mistakes. And how can computers help physicians do their job better? And we developed all these statistical probabilistic systems and ended up getting our PhDs at the same time, what the heck. And then it was that content, the work we did into building these statistical and probabilistic systems that caught the eye of Microsoft, who brought us up here.
And what are you doing here today? What kinds of work, if we sat in here for an hour, what would you do?
Well, we've done all sorts of cool applications. I've been here for 12 years now, so the things that I'm really proud of are things like the spam filter. We were the first people in the world to build a spam filter, and that technology made its way into all of our email products now. Noisha Yoich, who's...
So when I'm using Hotmail and it's sticking stuff in the...
That's right.
That's your stuff?
That's right.
Thank you. There's still a few things through.
That's right. But we give you a knob. I don't know if you know this, but there's a knob there where if you're getting, you can decide how much false positives versus how many false negatives you want to trade off. So kind of customize it to your own preferences. So we do cool things in vision. Anything where you've got lots of data and you're trying to find interesting patterns. So one cool thing we do with vision that Nabosha Yoich has done is it's called face certs. And it's a tool that allows you to, for example, build a driver's license that you can't forge. So it takes your picture and encodes it in a way and then combines all the information on the driver's license and comes up with this kind of hash code, which is then printed on the card. And then on the receiver side, it can scan the picture again and do the same mapping. And if it doesn't match the hash code, then it's no good. So you can't forge it. If you try to put another picture on there, it won't work.
Very interesting.
And right now,
is anybody using that yet, or
they're going all over the government and various industries or various companies looking at it.
Right.
We're doing advertising for MSN, targeted advertising for MSN. So that's very cool. We want to give the user a good quality of experience, and yet try to get the advertiser to be happy. Reach the customers they want to reach, and finding that happy medium ends up to be a cool math problem. So we do that.
That's what you're about, cool math problem.
Cool math problem.
Cool math problem.
Yeah, usually involving data.
I should have stayed in math class.
So one thing it's really exciting that we're working on right now is this HIV vaccine.
Okay.
HIV is the a virus that causes AIDS.
Yep.
And AIDS is a real problem. There are some very good treatments, but they're very expensive. And most of the people in the world, there's 40 million people in the world infected with AIDS. Most of them are in India and Africa and China and those places. And these expensive treatments don't work. The solution for them is a vaccine, and that's what we've been working on.
Are you allowed to say who you're working on it with? Obviously, that's not just a Microsoft.
Absolutely. Well, we started working on it pretty much by ourselves.
Yep.
We got involved with UW, which is right across the way here. And University of Washington.
A lot of people don't know the local legal.
They gave us a lot of good pointers. Yeah. And then we did this this one cool thing, which I can show you if you like. They said, oh, that's great. And then so we talked to Bill Gates and mentioned to him in a Think Week paper, you know, we're doing this. He goes, oh, well, I'm very interested in this. He got us in touch with his foundation. And the foundation got us in touch with all the big players in the area. So we're now, we've got the people, we've got the best data in the world for doing this problem. We've got the best testers, vaccine testers in the world connected. We're connected with them now, thanks to Bill. So it's been great. It's been about a year now. It's going to take 10 years to test this vaccine, going from test tube to person all the way through. We're still in the test tube phase, but it looks pretty good right now.
Interesting.
So, what's the challenge with creating a vaccine?
The challenge with creating an HIV vaccine is that HIV mutates a lot. And if you want, I've got a picture I can show you.
Sure.
How this the problem here. This is the life cycle of HIV. HIV is essentially a little glob of protein which has some RNA inside of it. That gets into your cell. The RNA comes out. This is real. It will shut up in a second. Yeah. One more. And got it. Okay. So HIV is this blob of protein with RNA in it. It gets inside of a cell.
Yep.
The RNA is copied to DNA. It's a process called reverse transcription. The HIV actually has the engine that does this copying. Anyway, it gets copied into DNA. The DNA makes its way inside the cell nucleus where replication happens. HIV is replicated many, many times, and then new versions of the HIV butt off from the cell, go off and infect other cells. So it's this copying from RNA to DNA that's the real kicker. Because HIV has its own engine to do this, it deliberately makes this copying process noisy. So it deliberately, HIV has this mechanism built in to be sloppy. It copies in a sloppy way, creating all sorts of mutations, and it's these mutations that tend to elude the human immune system. So that's the really hard part in making a vaccine. How do you deal with all these different variations of HIV? So what we do is, we're exploiting the what's called the cellular component or cellular arm of the immune system. The way that immune system works, it's shown here. Basically, little bits and pieces of the infection, this virus, in its protein form, are presented on the cell surface of an infected cell. It's like held in a little cup called an MHC1 molecule. This is what it looks like in detail. So this is a little part of the virus. It gets chewed away inside the cell and gets presented on the cell surface. And then there's these things called T cells or killer cells, which can come by and recognize that this foreign protein is inside the cell and kill that cell in such a way that all the virus doesn't leak out and start infecting other cells. So if there was just one of these small little pieces, these are called epitopes, these small sets, small strings of amino acids. If there was just one of these pieces, it'd be easy. We just put that in a vaccine, the immune system would be trained to recognize it, and it would kill the HIV vaccine. But because HIV mutates, there's many, many different versions of these epitopes. So the simple approach is to just concatenate them together, and you have this really long vaccine, you inject it and solve the problem. Well, the problem with that is long vaccines are bad for many reasons, one of which is they're very expensive, another, there's lots of technical reasons why they're bad. So The trick is to make a short vaccine that has all these length 10 amino acid sequences in them by exploiting the overlap between these sequences. So over, if you come over here, I'll show you how we've done that. Basically, we're using discrete optimization techniques to take a very large set of these length 10, length 9 amino acids and compress it into a very small vaccine. So here's what that looks like. Each row here corresponds to a variant of HIV. Each letter is an amino acid, and so a variant of HIV is just a string of letters here. And so we have lots and lots of variations corresponding to all the different possible mutations of HIV that you might get infected with. And then here's a vaccine design. And we've color-coded things. So you see the dark blue here. There's this length 10 amino acid in dark blue. You see that appears in all sorts of all different copies of the HIV virus. So this is showing the answer that we're not solving anything here. But when we apply these fancy optimization techniques that we have, we end up with a design that looks like this.
When I think of Microsoft, I think of software. So how is software being applied to this kind of problem?
Well, we're using absolutely state-of-the-art, very advanced discrete optimization techniques, which is, you know, a core part of computer science. Okay. So there's definitely this computer science component to solving this puzzle. And there's other pieces of the puzzle. There's getting the data in the first place, and that's no easy task. And then there's testing the vaccine once you design it. But there's this middle piece, the design, taking the data, taking all these different variations of HIV and finding the common sub-patterns and piecing them together that computer science is necessary for.
If this is successful, what other applications do you think you'll see for this kind of system?
Well, in particular in the vaccine, it turns out that hepatitis C, which is gaining, you know, it's spreading like wildfire, unfortunately, through the population, has exactly the same properties. It mutates a lot, and there's lots of different variations. So immediately, hepatitis C is going to be an application for this. Cancer is also a possible application because cancer is basically your immune system failing to recognize that something has gone wrong in your cells. So your cells have mutated somehow, and your immune system's not recognizing it. So again, there's this thinking of all the different possible ways your cells could go wrong, immunizing you against that, and it comes back to the same kind of technology.
So Microsoft could cure cancer.
And HIV.
And you said that with a straight face.
Well, it's possible, and really thanks to Dylan connecting us up with all these great teams throughout the world, which are solving different pieces of the puzzle. You know, there's a good chance.
It's a really big partnership. It's a really, really big partnership.
Yeah.
But,
obviously,
you know,
you
look at society today, and, you know, what are there are really two fields that are changing the world, right? There's computing, because we're seeing, you know, computing devices show up in everything, whether it's, you know, from your TV to your watch to everything. And there's life sciences. And the really interesting thing about the work that, you know, David's been doing here is it shows how much computing is changing the life sciences.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you. What's the probability that this will be successful?
Well, I think the key issue here is, can a cellular-based vaccine using the T cells, these killer cells, is that an effective vaccine? So far, all the vaccines you know and have been injected with, mumps, measles, rubella, don't use this arm of the immune system. They use antibodies. So this is a different. We're not only breaking ground with HIV, we're breaking ground with this whole new area of the immune system and seeing whether it can form a vaccine. If the cellular arm can create an effective vaccine, I think we've got one here for HIV. That's the key issue.
And how many years is it going to be before we know whether this is successful? In other words, is this a 10-year bet, a 15-year bet?
It's a 10, going from test tube to human, it's 10 years.
Okay.
And I guess the good news is you learn if it's not going to work along the way. If at each stage, you know, you do test tubes, you do mice, you do monkeys, you do humans, if it keeps working, if it works at one stage, you advance to the next stage. So hopefully you'll come back here in 9 years and we're still we're still hoping we still have positive results through all the different phases, and we'll get the good result.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I see you have a tablet. Do you actually use it in tablet mode at all?
Absolutely. Because we have these collaborations throughout the world, we've got the data guys are in Perth, Australia, and the testing people are over at the Hutch, and we don't have a lot of time to travel around. So we have our weekly meetings with telephone and with tablet with shared whiteboard. That's great.
Are you using the OneNote sharing yet? Or?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I use that a lot. Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Cool.
Yeah. That's what you're looking for.
Yep, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, hey,
we'll send around the tape. No, we're it's live.
We keep going.
It's live.
Energizer button.
More researchers here.
That actually brings us to the end of the set of people that we're gonna visit on this tour. But,
cool. Well, thanks for showing us around second time.
Incredible amount of exciting stuff going on here all the time. You know, I find the best. Best, I think Bill still thinks he probably is the best job in the company, but I really honestly think that I, because I get to work with all these guys.
Yeah.
And they're all just so amazingly bright and doing cool stuff that I could never in a million years think of myself. But it's a lot of fun every day.
Yeah.
But I do have to go home and stick my brain in the freezer every night to get it to cool off.
Yep. Thank you very much for showing us around. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
And really great people here.